sometimes you hear people say they can't really relate to the stories that we hear in the Bible, that our world today is so different that it's hard to find a parallel in some of the people we read about. Today's story from Acts is one of those stories. But I believe if we look carefully at the people we meet in the pages of Scripture and look for how God makes an impression on them, that's where we'll find the relevance for ourselves today and the situations we find ourselves in. So today in Acts, we meet a slave girl who is possessed by a spirit, and her owners are using her to make money by having her tell fortunes to people. Now, there are lots of thoughts about whether she could really answer questions about the future or if the questions were vague, more kind of a yes or no. Either way, we know that God has made it very clear. This practice of fortune telling is not to be done by his people, either by those saying they can predict the future or those seeking answers about their future. It's bad news all the way around. And while a lot of detail isn't given about this girl, you can assume that if given a choice, she would not pick this life for herself. Just like sometimes we don't get the choice of the circumstances we have to deal with in our own lives. So while we aren't told a lot about the girl, like how she became a slave, how she became involved in this money-making scheme, or even how she feels about it, we do know she's being used by those who owned her because she had some kind of affliction or possession that could be used for profit. For me, it was significant that the backstory isn't part of her story. The part that matters the most is what happens after she meets someone who knows and follows God. And that's exactly what happened. So Paul and his crew were going around telling a pretty radical message to the people that Jesus came to save everyone, including non-Jewish people. Now, this is mind-blowing to the Jewish people who think that in order to be included in this plan of salvation, Gentiles first had to become Jewish. Paul's saying, no, Jesus turned that all upside down. So in the reading, we have Paul and the others walking around doing their thing when this slave girl starts following them around shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. We hear that and we think, well, that's what they were doing, so what's wrong with shouting out about it? The problem is this. In those days, lots of folks, not just the Christian, were calling their gods, and that's gods with the little g, not our God, big G, the Most High God. There wasn't a distinction. And so some could be confused about who they were worshiping and exalting. The news in those days traveled by word of mouth, literally, on the street, just like the slave girl was doing. She was the social media of her time. Now today, our social media sources include TV, podcasts, Facebook, Instagram, and about a million other ways, and we get information thrown at us. And it can be overwhelming as we're inundated with messages every day by people who think they have the message we need to hear so that we can change our lives. So you see, the problem they had then is actually the same one we have today. False prophets and people giving wrong information to confuse and mislead us. We have to be careful that what we're hearing matches up with what God has told us to be true and the promises he made to us. There are counterfeit people trying to lead us off the path of God. And the way they do this is by using just enough truth to make the rest of what they say seem believable and true. We cannot take things at face value, but instead, we have to check our sources, understand the motives and beliefs of the people we're listening to, and use discernment to be sure that what we're hearing is of and about the one true God. Because even those who claim to be followers of Christ can purposely or inadvertently share inaccurate information. And whether intentionally or unintentionally, the enemy can still use this to push us in a direction that separates us from God and our community of believers. So we have to use scripture, tradition, and reason to help us decide what's true and in line with our beliefs about God. Okay, back to the story. So Paul knows that the words coming out of this possessed girl's mouth could be misleading for anyone hearing them, and they could confuse the message, the true message of salvation they were trying to share. The scripture then says, "Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the spirit left her." Now, I wish there was a different version of this where Paul seemed a lot kinder and nicer. Like, Paul took pity on this poor possessed woman and freed her from the spirit. Nope. He became annoyed and finally cast the spirit out. But here's the thing. There are times I wish I did things just because I'm a kind, nice person. And a lot of times I do. But sometimes I do things because I'm annoyed or frustrated or a number of other things that don't have much to do with kindness. It's not pretty, but that's the truth. But the thing is, our motives behind our actions don't stop God from doing what he has planned. God can and will care, protect, and guide us, not because of the nature of our character, but because of the nature of his character. And while we don't get to know what happened to the slave girl after this event, I like to think that the encounter with Paul made such an impact that she went seeking to find out just who these guys were talking about, to find out about the Most High God who could save her. The possession by the demon was not her fault, and neither was the way she was exploited because of it. Once free from that spirit, God would have been able to let her see and hear for herself the good news she had been listening to for days as she followed them around. And that's how God works. He uses all of our circumstances for his purposes. And his purposes are always for the best, even though sometimes we can't see it. When the slave girl's owner realized they lost their meal ticket in the slave girl, they got really angry and had Paul and Silas thrown in jail. Now, this seems like a horrible outcome for men trying to reach as many people as possible to tell about the good news. It seems they were shut down just as they were getting started. But they were about God's work, and that's God with a big G. The night Paul and Silas were in jail, they were praying, worshiping, and praising God. You see, they were still preaching the gospel. It just looked different than it had when they were on the street. Their location changed, but their message had not, and their purpose had not, to love and serve God. So when the earthquake shook the cells and gave the prisoners a chance to flee, the guard feared the worst, that the men had escaped to freedom. So he went running in, and he found men free, not because of their surroundings, but because of who they served and knew. They didn't have to run to freedom. They were already free in their hearts. And this, too, preached the gospel. So much so, the jailer and his family and the other prisoners believed and were saved. God knew all along the people that would have been reached and whose lives would be changed by this one seemingly simple encounter of a girl possessed and tormented. The morning Paul and the others arrived to share the news, the slave girl and the jailer had no clue what the day would mean to them. When they began their occupation, one chosen, the other chosen for her, they had no idea this day of awareness, love, and salvation would be waiting. And that's how it is, isn't it? We go about our lives not able to see how God is putting it all together for us. A friend shared a post with me this week from Instagram by a girl who started with a huge life-changing event in her life, and then she worked backwards, telling of all the other events from her life that at first seemed awful, but then she realized were necessary in order for God to get her to where the really great thing was. I want to share it with you. This is a post from Jessica about a picture she posted of her and her fiancé the day they got engaged. She says, "I had no clue that he was planning on proposing to me on this trip. No clue. In fact, I thought it would be many more months before that dreamy day would arrive, unfold for us. And 7 months before this picture was even taken, I had no clue that going to a Super Bowl party would be the day that I would meet Vincent, the love of my life, for the very first time. And 4 days before that, I had no clue that finally mustering the courage to obey the Holy Spirit's prompting to break up with my ex would lead me to a place of freedom and pure surrender and usher in such peace." We see our heartaches, our struggles, our failures, and have no clue how God is going to use it for us for our future. And at times, it can seem like the obstacles we face are too great to overcome, and we hardly ever think, this is going to serve a bigger and better purpose for me. But how many times after the fact, when we reach the good stuff, that we understand the hard stuff had to happen, and it makes the good stuff all that much sweeter? We don't realize that if instead of worrying, we try to live in a place of peace and a sense of surrender, that God will use those hard times to get us where he needs us to be for the really good stuff. A friend of mine, who is wise from all the ways God has loved and shown her mercy, reminds me, we just have to open our hands and give our struggles and worries to God. And sometimes we have to do it a million times a day. We just have to keep doing it. Now, the post from Jessica concludes with this. And right now, you have no clue when your next miracle and breakthrough will happen. It could be tomorrow. It could be next Tuesday. It could be July 14th. We have no clue. But God knows. And he asks us to put our hope in him, not in culture, not in statistics, not in how it played out every other time. Friends, we don't need to seek people to tell us our future or to offer us false hope about how things are going to work out, because God's already there and he knows how he's going to work it all out. We just need to put our hope and faith in God, knowing that while we don't have a clue, he does, and it's so much better than we could imagine.